Hey, what's happening, San Diego? A wonderful Friday to you. A Friars Friday, finally a Friday, and we are with you on Gwynn and Chris here. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr. is in Denver, Colorado, where the Padres will get set to take on the pesky Rockies. First of a three-game series tonight. Adam Klug is sitting in for Matt Scraby today. We go right to Coors Field, where my friend, my pal, my confidant, Tony Gwynn Jr. is there. Padres have arrived, ready to take on the Rocks. And they're on a pretty good hot streak right now, Tony, I heard, the Padres.
I've heard similar things. They're playing some pretty good baseball, and they come into a place that, you know, it's not a for sure thing, no matter how good or bad the Rockies are. It's just one of those type of places. On a side note, I will be in control of my mic this entirety of the show today. So,
okay.
we won't have to have any hot mic spots today.
Well, that did seem to create a lot of attention around our show yesterday. I was getting a text from my wife, even, who was not listening to the show, but apparently somebody she knew was listening to the show. So they texted her. She texted me. And I know you got a lot of attention about that. But we got through it safely.
We are still on
the air today, and that is a good thing. Here's another good thing for all you Padres fans. In about 7 or 8 minutes, joining us on the show today, our Friar Friday interview with none other than Big Smoke.
Big Smoke.
Who's Big Smoke, you ask? That is the name that Joe Musgrove will be going by this weekend. I don't know if everybody's aware of it, Tony, but it is Players Weekend in Major League Baseball. So everybody gets to put whatever name they want, right, on the back of their jersey.
They
get to have a lot of fun. The Padres have an interesting lineup today. I don't have their official lineup, but guys like Regandarea will be in the lineup today. That's Luis Arraez, for those wondering. And by the way, that's the best pronunciation I can do.
That was you rolled those R's,
didn't
you?
Yeah, La Regandarea. He'll be probably in the leadoff spot. Of course, El Ministro will be in there tonight. Manny Machado.
Very,
I think you know most
him.
Of the names. I mean, Cronzone, Higgy, Action Jackson, Jackson Merrill. And Jackson Merrill, by the way, from what I hear, is debuting a Star Wars-themed lightsaber bat.
Lightsaber bat, baby.
I can't wait to see this.
It's on the internet already. You can get a good look at it. It is pretty special. There's a lot of cool ones today going to pop off, including one that is a Tony Gwynn-themed bat you guys will get a chance to see. It's pretty cool. I have pictures of it, but you guys won't see it until the Padres release it. It is pretty sweet. This is the first Players Weekend that I've actually felt like, dang, I wish I could have been around for this.
Never got to take part in one of those.
I never got to take part in it. I wasn't, you know, the first couple iterations of it. I don't know. They did the emojis the 1 year. They've done different things. You know, now that the rules have loosened up, that kind of took away one of the perks of Players Weekend, which was you could wear whatever colors you wanted on your shoes.
And the shoes, that was a big deal for you. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, we are talking to a man who was fined by Major League Baseball countless times for wearing the wrong shoes.
I don't know about countless, but I definitely got a warning.
Got a few warnings along the way, yeah. But you wouldn't have got any such thing during Players Weekend. It'll make it a little more fun tonight and throughout the weekend, all around Major League Baseball. All the players will get to. I think you should have a discussion with Dylan Cease, though. If you run into Dylan today, Dylan Cease's player name for the weekend is
Cease.
Yeah, great. I hope it didn't take him too long to come up with that. But anyway, everybody's going to have some fun with it.
Can I jump in here for a second?
Adam Klug, you want to jump in? Yeah, of course.
First of all, on the YouTube stream, we are showing Jackson Merrill's Star Wars lightsaber bat.
Okay, if you're watching the YouTube, you can see it. Oh, wow. It's like a bright.
It's pretty sweet.
Lightsaber-type blue. They should turn the lights out at Coors Field when he comes to bat.
That's what I was getting ready to say. It's like, do we need to get the black lights out? Because you're not going to really get the full effect of it with these bright stadium lights on.
But I got to say, I'm a little disappointed in Chris on his Luis Ariz name. It's not just for Players Week. La Regadera is his nickname. It's the Sprinkler.
The Sprinkler?
That's what it means, because he sprinkles hits all over the field.
I did not know that. Thank you for telling me.
La Regadera is Spanish for the Sprinkler.
I knew that was his nickname. I knew there was meaning. I didn't know what it actually meant, but that's perfect.
I don't think I can be faulted for this, Adam. I only took 12 years of Spanish.
It's only been his nickname forever, though.
But I don't believe they ever taught me the word for sprinkler.
I just wanted to clarify, it wasn't just a Players Weekend thing for Ariz specifically. That is his nickname.
That is his nickname. Well, he'll have it on his back today.
That goes for Manny, too. I mean, they're using Players Weekend to put their nicknames on their uniform.
Yeah, this is it's a lot of fun. It used to drive me a little crazy, but you know what? I've less loosened my reins on this. I think it's fun. I think it's high time that baseball let these players, show off a little of their personalities. It's such a long season, and you're in the dog days of August right now, so to have some fun like this for the weekend, good for everybody, and hopefully it will keep the Padres' mojo going. 19-3 over the last 22 games. The Padres, you break it down a few different ways, Tony, and just about any way you slice it, it's really, really good. They're 7-1 at home during that stretch. They're 12-2 on the road during that stretch. They're averaging 6.1 runs per game. They're allowing 3.1 runs per game. They've had more shutout victories than losses. They've had 5 shutouts, only 3 losses. They're 4-0 in extra innings, which puts them at 7-1 for the season. They're the only team in baseball that has lost as few as 1 extra inning game this year. And, of course, this is on the heels of last year when they couldn't win an extra inning game.
Right.
They have won 9 of their 19 victories by 4 or more runs. I know people were a little concerned. They're saying, wow, they're all these close games. How are they going to survive? They really haven't all been that close. I mean, half of them have been, pretty comfortable wins. And, of course, they go for their 9th series win in a row tonight, which would be an all-time franchise record. They've had 8 series wins, 4 of them sweeps, after only 2 sweeps in the first half, Tony. You can't find a bad statistic to support the Padres since the start of the second half.
Yeah, we tend to find them, though. Ain't that something?
That's why I thought I'd go through and get some good ones out. Try to get everybody feeling better.
You bring up a good point, because it just tells you we're all prisoners of the moment, and we forget, like, half of those games have been comfortable wins. It doesn't feel like that when you've run off 2 of 3 that maybe weren't that, that much of a space in between. But this team is playing good, man. As I said, you want to come in here, take care of business, but you just know this place is it just has been, it's not a nightmare, but it's like a twilight zone. You don't really know exactly what's going to happen, how weird it could be. But coming into this series, man, the Padres, they are, this is exactly as Mike Schilt probably pictured it in his head.
Yeah, he couldn't have imagined. I mean, it's just a slow rollout
exactly,
that kind of builds
exactly
to something outstanding in August, to get you set up for the stretch drive.
100%. And now he's in a position where he can start kind of not auditioning, but finding out who are guys that he's going to depend on when the chips are down. You're going to put guys in spots, and some of it will be the yesterday's game. Friday. So that would have been Wednesday's game. Wednesday's game. He didn't have to end up doing it because the Padres had comfort in that spot. But had that game been close, it was likely going to be without Suarez, who had thrown consecutive games. Tanner Scott had thrown consecutive games. So that would have been an opportunity for him to kind of get a feel for who else is going to be able to be in those spots.
Yeah, he's got everybody available to start the series. That's how you want it to be when you're going into 3 at Coors Field. And, the other thing is, I got to say this, even though you don't want to really acknowledge it, the Padres have a losing record at the moment against the Rockies. They're 4-6. But the Rockies, for whatever reason, Tony, just don't play like they normally do when they're against the Padres. I don't think the Padres have played awful baseball. It's just that Colorado seems to come up with stuff they're not usually able to come up with.
Right.
You know?
I mean, so. and that's what happens when a team has confidence when they face you, right? I mean, this team, from the moment this season started, they faced each other, has been able to garner some confidence as the season has gone along. Now, this is as we saw at home, this was a different Padre team than they had faced the previous times. But that being said, when you're in the altitude and you're in this stadium here, we all know it. There's just no guarantees. But you'd have a hard time trying to find some flaws right now with the Padres and how they're playing baseball.
Yeah.
At this present moment. I mean, today you got Waldron on the mound. He was the first one to kind of come in here and show that, okay, it could be done. And so let me stop talking right now because Big Smoke, I believe, is available.
That's right. I understand that Joe Musgrove is with us from Denver on our Friar Friday interview. Joe, always great to have you on, and we appreciate the time as always. Real quick, how are you feeling? I know that you came out of Monday's return to the mound and all systems were go, but here we are a few days later. You're coming up on your second start. Is everything still good?
Yeah, body's feeling really good. I'm fighting through a bit of like a little head cold right now, but the arm, everything feels good. It bounced back pretty well.
Joe, I've been trying to impart on our listeners how difficult of a process it is for, I mean, any player to kind of deconstruct their mechanics and then put them back together. That's usually an off-season gig. This has been put on you to do during the season. Can you, in layman's turn, kind of explain some of those adjustments that you've had to make in order to put yourself in position to be able to pitch again?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few things that go into it. I honestly, this is kind of probably an unpopular opinion or an unpopular thing for most people, but I feel like I make my best adjustments throughout the course of the season. You know, you spend all off season working on movements and delivery and throwing bullpens. And then there's something different about getting there with a hitter in the box in a stadium with the lights on. And, you know, that slight bit of added intensity tends to kind of pull you out of those movements sometimes. So I've always felt the ability to throw, you know, 100 pitches at max effort in the season and make adjustments throughout the course of a game. I feel like I maintain those movements much better when they're done at, you know, a max effort. And my body understands that this is the exact result we're trying to get, not, you know, an 80% version like I would do in the bullpen. So, you know, in some way, it seems easier for me. I know there's a lot more risk of, you know, changing delivery and even changing, you know, pitch metrics and pitch grips and stuff. But I've always done well, you know, reacting to that stuff in the season. So throughout the course of the, you know, the IL stint, I had the luxury of having, you know, what I knew was going to be about 2 months of time. So we kind of broke it down and started doing a lot of drills in the weight room and, you know, stuff on the mound, just dry reps with the water bag and with the 3D strap and bands and stuff, just trying to recreate movements and ultimately get my ranges of motion opened up more and more without even, you know, having thrown a ball yet. So by the time I do pick up a ball, my body kind of falls into those patterns of what I've been doing for the last 3 weeks without a result, you know, without a result to follow the movement. You know, you kind of can do the movement and feel good about it without, you know, throwing a pitch and seeing the pitch go way wide or way high. You can kind of really just hammer in the movements and then slowly start introducing them into catch play. And like we talked through that first few weeks of my throwing program, it was a lot of long toss and, you know, minimal intensity behind the throws, but a lot of intent in the movements themselves. So I was able to slowly transition those movements into an actual throwing pattern and eventually into the mound.
Well, it worked beautifully. Great return to the mound for Joe Monday night, and he'll be back on the hill Sunday in Denver. Joe, you've had a lot of big starts in your career. I mean, obviously the Mets game, no one will ever forget that one. You're no hitter. A couple of other playoff starts, some World Series appearances with the Astros. How was Monday night for you? I mean, is there a little added stress, nerves on that, just in terms of going out there and, you know, having to actually do it and make sure that, you know, you felt all right? And was there a sense of relief / accomplishment as you came off the mound Monday night?
Yeah, there was, you know, a lot of anticipation going into that, but I felt oddly, you know, comfortable. You know, a big part of that is due to the way that these guys have been playing. You know, I felt very confident that if I can go out there and get, you know, at least four innings and, you know, keep it under one run, you know, one or zero runs, I feel like we'd have a good chance of winning that game. And obviously walking off the mound to a standing ovation, having gone scoreless, feels extremely good. You know, the welcome back from the San Diego fan base was incredible. But, yeah, it feels good to walk off there with a scoreless outing and kind of have that, you know, that strong base to stand on as I'm, you know, continuing to build up and pitch count and stuff. But yeah, I felt very comfortable. I put a lot of work in. I felt confident. I had a good scouting report on those guys. I had, you know, a lot of things that kind of matched up with my strength. So I felt really good going into it. But yeah, there's that uncertainty of, is all this work that I did going to translate in this first one right away, or is it going to take me an outing or two? And I felt pretty good. So.
Big Smoke, a.k.a. Joe Musgrove, joins us here on Gwynn and Chris Fryer Friday. And, Joe, I want to go back to the build-up to that start, because you had made some starts before going on the IL, and you kept feeling that pain. So you just walked us through kind of, you know, building yourself up to kind of feel. So the first time you picked up a ball and you're going off the mound, having had an injury similar to that, you get ready to throw that ball, and you're waiting to feel it. When you didn't feel it, was there a sense of relief, like, okay, I'm on the right track at this point, I can feel it?
Yeah, there was a big sense of relief. You know, when I first picked the ball up and started throwing, it felt drastically different in a sense that I can kind of throw free. And I feel like my mind and body were still kind of blocking me a little bit from trusting it, even after I had, you know, had the result of feeling like it was gone and that I was kind of moving in the right direction. You know, you try not to get too far ahead of yourself or try to increase the intensity too fast. And that was all kind of part of the plan when we mapped out, you know, my recovery and my road back to getting into a big league game was, you know, it might feel great at the start, but let's really follow this program up until a certain point. And then once we're off the mound and throwing bullpens and it feels good, then we can kind of, and I think you guys saw it, you know, it took me a while to get built up to being on a mound. But once I was on a mound, it was a matter of, you know, 12 or 14 days before I was back in the big league. So. You know, we got that done pretty quick, and I think it's, you know, a lot of it's the program that they wrote up for me, the training that we did throughout the time, and ultimately the time off.
Joe, every time I do a visit with you, I go back to a night that I'll never forget, because I happened to be doing post-game show the night you threw your no-hitter. It was the COVID, so I was sitting in my office at home when you called in, and I was able to do that interview after the no-hitter, and I've always thought that was a special night. But speaking of the no-hitter and why I'm bringing it up, you were there in Washington when Cease threw his. And from everything I read, you had kind of a lot to do with him finishing that game. And you were as excited as anybody that he joined you as a Padre with a no-hitter. Can you take us through a little of that?
Yeah, man. I mean, just the emotion. I feel like I was more stressed out than he was, you know. And a lot of that because I've been through it before. And the questions that he was asking me, I sat down there. Me, him, and Michael King sat down in the tunnel with him for probably the last five or six innings. And ultimately just we're trying to be there as, you know, a little bit of a distraction for him, you know, someone to talk to, someone to bounce ideas off, you know, talk about the game, talk about whatever. I was kind of just being there as someone that would be available for him. I tried not to lead the conversation. I just kind of sat by and let him bring up whatever he wanted to bring up. But I don't know how much I had to do with keeping him in that game. I mean, I was kind of just being nosy and sitting there, you know, hoping they would ask me for my opinion. And sure enough, Skip looked over and asked me, and I was like, the guy's throwing 100, man. I don't see any signs of slowing down. But, yeah, I think Dylan was in that position. And sometimes you'll see that from managers, and I think you know that, Tony. Like, yeah. Sometimes managers just kind of want to see where you're at, you know. If they ask him, you know, I think that's good, and he, you know, submits immediately, then you could tell that he's running out of gas and that's the end of the line. But Dylan put up a fight immediately, and I think his stuff that he was showing on the field, you know, kind of – fought the biggest case for him. I think his stuff was good enough to leave him out there.
Joe, how difficult has this year been for you? I mean, I know you pretty well, man. You keep your foot on the gas, and having to take that kind of time off, I can't imagine that being the easiest. Now, on the flip side of that, this ball club has been playing brilliant, so I'm sure that lightened it a little bit. But I would say overall, was this tough for you?
Yeah, this is one of the tougher seasons I've had to go through in a while. Ultimately, just because as a player, man, like you want to be on the field playing. That's, you know, where you have the most fun. That's where you feel like you're impactful. You know, you start thinking about, and I relate to Darvish in a sense. You know, you sit here and you're hurt constantly, and you know, I don't have what he has and a family and kids at home. And, you know, you start second-guessing things and wondering, am I spending all this time away from my family and not performing on the field or not even getting a chance to? There's a lot of things that go into that. So
yeah.
It's very frustrating as a player, but You know, I feel like I, you know, took myself out of the position of, you know, the desperation to get back on the field, and I really just tried to make the most of my time. And, you know, I feel like I grew a lot as a leader in the clubhouse and a lot understood myself a lot more and how this team dynamic works between the leaders of a clubhouse and the manager and the communication that's involved in that. You know, I've grown a ton as a player. Although I haven't been on the field, I feel like a lot more well-rounded player, having spent those 2 months really diving into some other aspects of, you know, of being a good leader and a good, you know, teammate. So it's frustrating not be on the field, but I feel like I did the most with it, and I feel like a more prepared player now.
Joe Musgrove is with us, our Friar Friday interview. The good news is for you, Joe, you're so awesome on these interviews. The bad news for you is that we could keep you all day, and we don't have time to do that. So I'm going to try to sneak one more in here. About this hot streak with the 19-22, you're on an Astro team, obviously, that won it all. You're on a great Padre team a couple of years ago. Not necessarily how this compares, but what is special about what's going on right now? And take us through, as best you can, kind of the feeling around this ball club at this moment.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the way we're winning that's the most exciting. You know, we've had our share of, you know, blowout wins in this stretch, and we've had, you know, plenty of games that have come down to one or two runs, and some games where we've been down one or two and fought back. And it seems to be someone different every night. I know Jackson's been on, you know, one hell of a tear and, you know, brought us back into a lot of ball games over the last couple weeks here. But, you know, we're doing it in every fashion. You know, we've won 1-0 games where our pitching's been dominant, and we've won, you know, 9-8 games where the pitching's gotten beat up a little bit and the offense has found a way to claw back in the game. And, you know, it's the things that we talked about early in the year about staying engaged for all 9 innings, you know, whether we're up or down, is continuing to stay in the fight and not giving away at-bats. And whether we complete the comeback and win the game ultimately, we're putting stress on their bullpen. We're getting in there and seeing more of their guys and things that are going to help us later on in the series. So I think we've really focused on, you know, doing the things that we talked about that are going to make us a good team. And ultimately that's led us to more and more wins. And, you know, you get on one of these stretches, you see some teams that ride the high as long as they can, and they lose that first game, and they slide right back down in that, you know, that negative direction. And we've done a good job of losing a game and hopping right back on another 7-8 winning streak. So it's just been a full team effort here. Everyone's happy, excited to show up every day. There's a different feel when you're winning often. You know, everyone comes in anxious and looking for an edge and a slight advantage over the opponent. There's just a full commitment from everybody, from staff to players to, you know, the way the front office has interacted with us. It's been, you know, a pretty fun season.
Last one for me, John, is more of a comment. I obviously travel with the team, and I sit in the back of that plane, and I watch pretty much every young guy sit with Joe. It's like I can't see Joe, but I can see all the young guys. What is it about that specific part of the team that seems to draw the best out of you? Because those guys seem like they just flock to you, Joe.
Yeah, man, I enjoy those guys, you know. It makes me a better player, makes me a better person to see those guys with that young, hungry attitude of, you know, a fresh perspective of what big league baseball is like. And then I think about, you know, my experience as a rookie and, you know, the things that could have been done that would have made my experience a little bit easier. You know, the transition to the big leagues a little easier, and a lot of it's just, you know, spending time with these guys and making them comfortable. You want these young guys and the rookies to come up and perform. They got to be comfortable and know that they can be themselves and, you know, play with some swagger and some attitude. And, you know, we try to preach that, you know, you respect the time of the guys that are in the clubhouse. And, you know, we have certain standards in place as far as bus times and treatment times so that everyone's able to get what they need in, but also, you know, allow room for the veterans and guys that are on a specific schedule. So I think ultimately I'm trying to get these guys as comfortable as possible, whether it's on the field or, you know, having fun on the plane or the bus rides. It's, you know, getting them adjusted and making sure they feel welcome and that they can go out and perform, you know, to the best of their abilities. So I've gravitated towards those guys well. You know, and we obviously have a couple poker games going on the plane, so I'm running the rookie game and Manny and Bogey are running the vets game. So some of these rookies are taking all my money, though, man. We gotta send them up to the varsity table.
Graduate them. Yeah.
That's
well,
right.
Well, Joe, continue wishing you some good luck here on the mound, and then after that, some good luck getting some better hands in the poker games. But always great having you on the show. Always a pleasure. And look forward to our next visit, and we'll catch up to you soon. Thanks again for being with
us.
Right on, guys. Always enjoy it. Appreciate it. Thanks.
Very good. Joe Musgrove there, our Friar Friday interview from Denver, Colorado, where tonight the Padres will take on the Colorado Rockies, game one of a three-game series. Tony's got to get to work because the game's getting underway shortly. Something you may not be aware of, Tony, but tonight your pregame lead-in is none other than me. I'll be returning
back, in the, saddle,
back in the old saddle here. Tammy Leavitt came up not feeling great today. We wish him a speedy recovery, but you know it takes something to get Sammy out of the lineup. So
yeah.
I'll be sitting in on the pregame tonight, so I'll maybe chatting with you a little bit later on there. But enjoy the rest of your day. Thanks for everything, and let's go this weekend.
Yes, sir.
All right, Tony there, Chris here, Adam Klug alongside Gwynn and Chris until the Padre pregame show at 4:30. We've got a lot to get to, and we'll start getting to it when we come back on 97.3 The Fan. All right, Padres and Rockies coming up a little bit later on. Yours truly, Chris Ello, returning to pregame and postgame duties with Sam Leavitt getting a much-deserved rest today. I'm coming in at a tough spot, Adam Klug. Team's won 19 of 22 games. They lose tonight. Guess who's going to get the blame for that?
Yeah, the Chris Ello curse.
The Chris Ello curse. Well, you know, when I was away for a weekend earlier after the All-Star break, they won their seventh in a row, and I had a lot of people tweet at me and say, stay on vacation. But, you know, I came back, and they've continued to win. So,
you know, Woodsy took some time off in Hawaii recently. You took time off. Tony had off.
Right.
And the team has played
so well and
won
with
so
that.
Many games. They're doing well regardless of
it doesn't matter what. Yeah, we can't mess it up right now. Not even we can mess up what the Padres have going on. I know that everyone's worried about the Rockies because they give the Padres a bad time. And after all, I mean, there's, you know, reason to be a little concerned. The Rockies, get this, Adam. The Rockies are 6-4 against the Padres. Against the rest of the NL West, they're 7-23. And it's the same team that can't beat anybody. But for some reason, you know, they give the Padres a hard time. So,
Chris, I have said numerous times around the office that this team gives me a different feeling than previous teams.
Padre team.
Yes.
Yeah, the way they're playing right now, it shouldn't matter who their opponent is. So.
But that's the question I will pose to you. At Coors Field, which has been kind of a house of horrors for the team, do you still get the same feeling or do you have a different feeling?
I looked it up today. Hasn't been as much of a house of horrors as you'd think. Padres all time in Coors Field are 124 win, 140 loss. So they're under 500 there. But it's not an egregious disadvantage. Padres have had some big games there at Coors Field. I think Matt Kemp had the squad's first ever cycle at Coors Field. You know, they've had some moments at Coors Field, and hopefully they'll have some more this weekend. We got a Padre lineup for you. Share that, and then get into some Mike Schilt stuff with Ben and Woods today. I'll do my best to do today's lineup using the player names that they're using for the weekend. Leading off for the Padres today, designated hitter, La Regadorea. That is the sprinkler, Luis Arraez. Batting second, El Patron, Jerkson Profar. Batting third, Cronzone, Jay Cronenworth. These are their own nicknames, by the way. If you don't like one of them, don't write me. Number four in the cleanup spot, El Ministro, Manny Machado, third base. Batting fifth, X-Man, Xander Bogaerts. Batting sixth, Action Jackson, Jackson Merrill. Batting seventh is Freight Train, David Peralta. Yeah, he does that train every time he gets a... He's been hot lately, by the way, Peralta. Batting eighth will be Awesome Kim.
Awesome.
Instead of Ha-Seong Kim, Awesome Kim. Yeah, he'll be batting eighth tonight. And batting ninth, Higgy, Kyle Higashioka. On the mound for the Padres tonight, Wally. Matt Waldron. So it is Players Weekend. Rockies will be going with Cal Quantrill tonight, the former Padre draft selection. A lot more on the game in the pregame, which follows this show at 4:30. One more quick thing before I get to Mike Shildt. Want to let everybody know that next Thursday, that's August 22nd, just a few days away, 2 o'clock, Scraby and I will be out for a live broadcast at Casa Octavio. It is on the corner of 10th and J, down in the gas lamp. You should be able to find it. 10th and J is like a stone's throw from Petco Park. And if you don't want to come down to see Scraby or I, that's fine. Come down anyway, because we're going to be giving away three pairs of tickets to that night's game. Next Thursday's game between the Padres and the Mets. So 2 o'clock, live broadcast, next Thursday, Casa Octavio. Make sure you're there, if for no other reason, to try to win some tickets to that night's Padres-Mets game. Scraby and I, and Tony will be on the show, but he'll be, of course, up in the booth there at Petco Park getting ready for the Padre-Met game. That's next Thursday. I was going to say, write it down, circle it on your calendar, but nobody writes anything down anymore. You get your phone out, you plug it in. Next Thursday, 2 o'clock, make a note of it, be there. All right. Mike Shildt was there this morning, on with Ben and Woods. And, of course, things are flying along beautifully for the Padres right now. Ben and Woods had quite a few questions from Mike Shildt. Thought we'd want to hear some of Mike Shildt's responses to those questions. Here's the first one. Does Mike Shildt, has he taken a moment to appreciate the run that this team is on right now?
You appreciate and enjoy the triumph the club has. You celebrate with them. You know how much hard work, dedication, effort goes in the players to perform. And you step back and just appreciate a nice play or a big hit or, you know, a guy making good pitches or, you know, stepping up in a high leverage situation. So you do appreciate that. But, you know, for the most part, you kind of got to stay on point, you know, yourself, because you got a responsibility too to be ready for, you know, any and everything. And, you know, but Suarez, you know, it's cool what they do when he comes in, you know, to close it down. But I'm just excited that we get the opportunity to bring Robert in to win a ball game.
Mike Shildt, managing a team that is as hot as any in Major League Baseball right now. 19 wins in their last 22 games. And a lot of people have talking about the grit this Padre team has shown so far this year. What pops in Mike Shildt's mind when he thinks of his grit squad?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we talked about it. You just mentioned one of them for sure. It's a 1-26 man roster, you know. They're all like that. You know, the guys that, you know, and again, I respect the heck out of all of them, but, you know, for Wadey to not, you know, play as much as I'm sure he'd probably like, but, you know, accepts the role that he has, fits in nicely when he gets called upon in the roles that he's been allowed and given. Been fantastic. You know, Solano, same deal. You know, look up, Brian Hoeing's done a nice job coming in, being able to pick up innings in different areas, been really tremendous. You know, Brian Reynolds came in the other day for a clean eight. So anyway, a bunch of guys really looking to compete and stay ready for whatever the situation calls for.
I don't think it's possible to win 19 of 22 games unless everybody's pitching in. And that really has been the case. And I think it's been one of the really fun parts of this stretch. As good as Jackson Merrill's run was, and, you know, I don't think any of us are going to soon forget it, honestly. I mean, to hit three tying home runs in a four-game span, and then 2 days later save a game with a diving catch with two outs in the ninth inning, and do what he's done to put himself squarely at the front of that Rookie of the Year picture. But, as Joe Musgrove said, you can't just say Jackson Merrill has carried this team, you know, on his back for this 19-3 stretch. I mean, everybody has contributed. Cronenworth hit a big three-run shot the other day. Machado has gone, you know, on a hot streak here. And he's up to 70 RBIs now, by the way, Machado. He's going to finish pretty close to 30 home runs, pretty close to 100 RBIs when it's all said and done. just like Manny always does, even though we were all concerned about it in May and June. Profar, you know, he won the Baltimore game right at the beginning of this stretch, two-home run game. Hasn't had as much magic, maybe in the last week or two, but, you know, Profar is still having an amazing season. Rise has contributed with his hitting. He's the only National League batter hitting over 300. And, you know, he continues to get the job done, set the table. Bogaerts had a really good hot streak right after the All-Star game. And that doesn't include Solano and Higashioka and Peralta. I mean, it's just everybody. They've all contributed, and the pitching's the same way. You know, when you think about Cease and his no-hitter, and you think about King and his consistency, and, you know, Waldron is pitching tonight, but, you know, Vasquez pitched a couple of good games during this stretch. Joe came back and showed up big the other night. And the bullpen, you know, everybody goes through some ups and downs. They've given some runs up here and there, but, you know, they mentioned Hoeing there. Hoeing's pitched 9 innings since joining the Padres. He's allowed 2 hits. That's it. No runs. Nothing off Hoeing. And he's done it, you know, as a guy coming in that rain game to pitch in late in ball games. Hoeing's been a wonderful addition. Jason Adams gets 7 innings. He's allowed 4 hits so far. No runs. You know, I mean, just. And then I didn't even mention Martin Perez. Martin Perez has started 3 games. Padres have won them all. He's got a 1.96 ERA. It's been a full team effort, and I think you hear that a lot. Everybody's contributing, but they really, truly are. They're all contributing right now. And that's the only way I think you can go 19-3. But next up for the Padres, starting today, 18 games in 18 days. They don't have a day off for quite a while. Starting today in Denver, does Mike Shildt plan for that?
I mean, there's a combination. I mean, you know, listen, we've got crystal balls. You know, we do take it probably one step at a time, but there's some planning that obviously goes into rotation. But, you know, who knows when the game starts, how things are going to go. There's always going to be twists and turns here or there. You know, there's planning on how we're going to be efficient with our pregame work and how we're going to make sure we're ready to play and have the appropriate mental and physical energy for the games themselves. And then there's, you know, the decision about when to give a guy a blow and make sure that, you know, we see the narrow focus and then also look at the bigger picture of what we're looking at from a, you know, season. So there's always a little bit of a marriage of both.
You know, I think it's interesting when you're riding a streak like this. I think it's a little bit like when you're pitching a no-hitter. I don't think you really want to mention it too often. But you're not going to run away from it. Everybody's obviously feeling terrific. Everybody can't wait to get to the ballpark like Joe was telling us. You know, everything's going well. People are all contributing. Can't wait for the next guy to come up and, you know, get the big hit. But I don't think you want to really overdo it. I think Mike Shildt's approach is probably the right approach right now, and that is to go into tonight's game with a record of 0-0. And I really think that's kind of been Shildt's thing. You know, I mean, he drove us crazy with that game-to-game mentality in April and May and June, right? All of us, you know, we wanted to hear him get angry. We wanted to hear him overreact to a bad loss. We wanted to hear him really lose it when they got swept at home by the Rockies. But you know what? Mike Shildt just went out and got ready for the next game. And, you know, this guy, right, is 2 years as a full-time manager, or his three years as a full-time manager of the Cardinals, they were in the playoffs every time. And more times than not, 2019, 2021, they did it. The Cardinals did by getting really hot in the second half of the season. He's always had the ability, it seems, to really catch fire in the second half. And obviously that's what he's done so far this year with the Padres. So, you know, Mike Shildt may not always win a popularity pool with us or with the fans, but I'm pretty sure he's winning one with his players. And we don't always like when he's positive about every single thing Like, even the most negative stuff, he's still positive about it. But I can tell you one thing, the players probably like it. I mean, think about it in your own line of work, whatever it is you do. If your boss is out there complimenting you all the time, it never really gets old, does it?
Chris, you do an excellent job.
Thank you, Adam.
Thank you so much for everything you do and contribute to this radio station.
It never hurts my feelings to hear that, and I don't think it hurts anybody's feelings, no matter what they do, to hear that. You know, we sit here and go, well, he's got to be critical of guys. Yeah, well, do you like it when your boss is critical of you? You have a down month in sales? Does he come over to your desk and go, you got to pick it up, man? Maybe they do. I don't know. I don't know how the sales world is these days, but... You know, I think most of us like to hear good things about ourselves, and I think we normally respond, you know, in a positive manner to that kind of stuff. Anyway, Cardinals, Mike Schilt before, Padres now. Similarities between those teams?
Yeah, I do. You know, it's something we continue to strive for, and that's just normalizing excellence of, you know, in competitions, you know, relative to regardless of who we're playing or what the circumstances are. You know, day game, night game, road, home, opponent. You know, we're going to be aware of the and respect our opponent, obviously, but, you know, it's really about, you know, what we do, how we do it, and how we do it together and how we execute. So.
And so it goes for the Padres as they try to keep it rolling tonight against the Colorado Rockies. We got an hour down. When we come back, not only a Daily Gambit segment, but I got a chance for you all to win some tickets to see Def Leppard and Journey at Petco Park. They're coming up on August 30th. Your chance to win is coming up shortly on Gwynn and Chris.